Well, thank the Lord tonight for the old rugged cross. One of these days we'll reap the joys of heaven because of the agonies that our Lord went through there upon the cross of Calvary. And old rugged cross, we can look at it and rejoice in it, but always need to remember that it was a very gruesome day that day, very terrible day, agonizing day. We can rejoice in it, but there was much suffering that day upon Golgotha's hill. Tonight, I want to look into the book of Jonah. We'll look in chapter 1 and note some things there, and also some in chapter 2. And I'm not really going to be preaching on Jonah, but using him more of a illustration concerning the subject matter tonight than preaching on his life. This morning we dealt with Bartimaeus and how that the Lord came to where he was and the Lord gave him his sight. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus followed him and followed the Lord. The Lord said, you go your way, but rather than going his way, he went the Lord's way. He followed the Lord. And sort of as a continuation on the will of God tonight, we look at Jonah's life as an individual that missed the will of God. When I first went to Bible college, and it seems like a lifetime ago since I was there, but one of the first books, and I think I've told you this before, one of the first books that we were required to read was a little paperback book. And I'm sure it's not in print now. It may be, but I doubt it. It was just a little paperback, very small book, and it was entitled The Perfect Will of God. And I've read a lot of books and since then, and looked at a lot of different commentaries and read a lot of different things, but I don't believe anything ever stuck with me as much as some of the few words in that little paperback book that was talking about the will of God. And I've used this phrase over and over. And maybe did even last Sunday in something. The will of God. What a wonderful thing it is to be in the center of God's will. God has a will for every believer. He has His desire for us, and it's always good and it's always right. And one of the little phrases in that book that I marked, underlined, and have remembered them ever since. Talks about the will of God. It says, when you search out God's will, that's the greatest adventure that a Christian ever has. You're just searching and looking and wanting to know what God wants you to do and how that God can use you and bless you. And so the author of the book, I don't remember who the author is, he said to search the will of God is life's greatest adventure. And I guess that's probably true. Just to find God's perfect will. What a great thing it is to look out and to find the perfect will of God for your life. And then he says, when you find the will of God, that's your life's greatest discovery. To know what God has for you to do. And to have it in your heart, this is what God wants. I've looked, I've read, I've prayed, I've studied, I've done all these things. And it's not necessarily just to be the will of God for a preacher or a missionary. It's the will of God in our life for everything. God has a perfect will for every one of His children. And when we find that, it's a wonderful discovery that we can say, I know what God wants for me. And then the last part of that was to do the will of God was life's greatest achievement. We can know it. We can know what God wants us to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean we do it. But when we can look back on our life and say, I've tried my best to do what God has for me, what a great achievement it is to be able to have confidence that the Lord has given us and has shown to us. He didn't necessarily lay it out all for us easily. We had to search out the will of God. And when we find it and then we do it, what a great thing it is to be able to say, I've tried my best to accomplish the will of God. Now, when you read the book of Jonah, you will find that I don't think Jonah ever discovered, or he maybe discovered it, but he did not always do the perfect will of God. And I doubt Jonah could have the peace in his heart that he could say, I've achieved what God wants me to achieve. Because we know the story, and we're going to read a few verses here. It's very, very familiar with us when you study about Jonah. We've used it many times. But every event and every lesson in our life that we experience is a part of God's greater plan for us. Everything that we think might be small and insignificant, God has worked that in and intertwined it into our life and becomes a part of us. You read in the first chapter of the book of Jonah, we find here that the word of the Lord came to him. That's the way the book starts out, the word. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And then he tells us in verse number 2, here's what he says. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. Now that is the perfect will of God for Jonah. God didn't mince words with him. He said, I want you to get up. I want you to go to Nineveh. It's a great city. It's a wicked city. And he said, I want you to cry against their wickedness. So there wasn't any problem in Jonah knowing what the Lord wanted him to do. The problem was Jonah doing it, that last portion of those three things. Jonah didn't have to search it out. God showed him. God revealed it to him. He had the discovery of the will of God, but he failed on the latter part to achieve God's will in his life. So the Bible says in verse number 3 that Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus and from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares from wares that were in the ship and the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Here is a wicked, ungodly, idolatrous man coming to Jonah, and he said, Why are you laying here asleep? Why don't you call on your God and see if he will help us? I believe when we find here this first portion of the book of Jonah, I believe we find God has called a man and he runs from the calling. And now he is in a deep despair of the will of God in his life. And here are all these mariners that are on this ship that's going to Tarsus. You'll notice that two times in that passage we read that the Bible says that he's going away from the presence of the Lord. He doesn't want to be where God has for him. He doesn't want to be in the presence of God. And so his life is torn up and his life is disturbed. And he is not interested in the will of God. And so he pays his fare and he goes his own way. And so these things that take place in Jonah's life reveal to us that he was not desirous to have the perfect will of God in his life. And there's some underlying reasons for that, but nothing should overtake God's will and God's promise to us. Everything that comes our way, as I said a moment ago, God uses it to help us. God uses it in our life to see, so that we can see a greater plan that he has for us. It's not just me and myself and I and nobody else involved, but there's a greater vision. There's a bigger picture to look at, and we're just a little part of that. And God wants us to follow His will. Every tear, every triumph, every pain, every pleasure that we have is a part of our lives to mold us and to make us in what God would want us to be. For we know that Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that are called of God, to them, those that have come unto the Lord according to the purpose of God. God has a purpose for us, and God has a reason for us to be here. If there's no reason to exist, then when the Lord saved us, we'd be better off just be transported to heaven, because we'd be in the presence of the Lord and not have to worry about the life that's before us. But there is a plan, there is a purpose in living, and God wants us to enjoy the best things. He wants us to have that perfect will in our life. Our knowledge of God is at best very limited. All that we can know about the Lord is what the Scripture tells us, and we can imagine a lot of things. We can think maybe certain ways and certain things the way heaven is and the way God is. But to have pure knowledge of our Lord, we'll not have that until we come into His presence. But the closer that we become to the Lord, the closer we come to the things that God has for us, the more that we will understand, and more of the understanding that we will gain, and that God has a plan. Now, I believe God had a plan for Jonah, and God laid it out before him. Go to Nineveh. I want you to go to that great city. I want you to cry against their wickedness. I want you to cry against their sin. And you would think that Jonah would relish the thought of being able to go to a city with God's call upon him, and God telling him that if you'll tell them, that they'll believe. But Jonah went the other way, and he rose up and he goes the opposite direction. Instead of going toward Nineveh, he goes toward Tarsus, which is exactly opposite a direction from that. And he's trying to get out of the presence of God. He didn't want God there. He didn't want God's presence there because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. I think we probably can all identify with that. The things sometimes the Lord wants us to do, we don't want to do. We just don't want to talk to him about it. We don't want to communicate with the Lord because we know what he's going to say. He's going to not change his mind and continually tell us what he desires for us to do. So Jonah thought that he could lay aside God's plan. Jonah thought he could just go down into the under part of the ship, and he wasn't worried about it. He thought he could escape the presence of the Lord, but God had a plan for his life. God had a storm to arise, and so he is there sleeping, and here is a wicked heathen mariner that says, "Why are you sleeping? Why don't you call on your God?" Well, Jonah didn't want to call on God. Jonah didn't want the presence of the Lord. Jonah didn't want the power of God. And when we draw away from him, then we think that we're escaping the presence of the Lord. But Jonah, maybe he couldn't understand why God wanted to take this wicked city and extend mercy to it. I don't know why God would want to extend mercy to you and I, but thank God he did. I don't understand why the Lord would show mercy to us, because we are sinners in the sight of God. But yet, he wants to do for Nineveh what he did for us one day when we come to know the Lord. And so Jonah maybe didn't understand that, maybe didn't want to understand that. We hear a lot today about the term racist and being prejudiced. I guess if there's anybody that would classify there, Jonah would fall in that category. He did not want to go to Nineveh because it was an enemy city of his people, and he just didn't desire to help them have anything better. Jeremiah tells us that God says, "I know your thoughts," and I know, God says, I think towards you thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God plans the best for people, and God wants the best. The question is, how do we discover God's plans? How do we do what God wants us to do? And so, just using Jonah as an example tonight of one that is out of the will of God, greatly out of the will of God, not desiring that anyone in Nineveh would ever come to know God, and he said, "I'm not going to preach to that crowd, and I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to give the name of the Lord to that crowd, and so he goes another way, And how do we respond when God calls us, when God speaks to us about certain things in our life? Well, I believe to know the will of God, we need to first of all consider that God loves us. He does not give us anything that would ever harm us. He loves us with an unending love, an unselfish love. Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, verse number 3, the Lord says to Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah was that one that God said, I've chosen you to be a vessel, to be a spokesman. And he says, I've drawn you with my love. And he said, it's an everlasting, unending love. And so God's love, we consider that. Then we need to understand that we do what we do because God cares about us. The Lord is a friend. The Bible says that sticketh closer than a brother in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 34. If we keep God at a distance, we're not going to be too bothered by the Lord unless he comes by and continually bothers us. We'll never discover how he operates. We'll never discover how he thinks or how that he loves us in our life. We can experience his love on a personal basis, and we can become what God wants us to become only as we agree to the things he has for us and not fight against him. He's our dearest friend. I have some great friends. I have some good friends in my life, but the dearest friend that any of us have is the Lord. He knows all my heartaches. He knows all my feelings. He knows my struggles. He encourages us to express those to him, even our sorrows, our disappointments, and he knows all about it, and yet he cares, and he tells us to call upon him, casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. All of our anxieties, all of our tears, all of our troubles, I'm glad the Lord does care about us. So he's our friend, and he wants us to delight in him, and he wants to delight in us. We need also consider not only the Lord and his love, but we need to consider our foe, the wicked one. He's out to destroy us. He's out to stop your mouth. He's out to stop your testimony. He's our adversary, the scripture says. Our adversary, and the Lord names him the devil. Doesn't mince words. He is our great arch enemy. He does not want us to follow God's plan. He was very active in the life of Jonah. He was very influential in Jonah's life at this time, and he did not want him to follow the plan. And one of Satan's favorite weapons that he uses is a false guilt. He doesn't want us to follow anything the Lord has for us, because he knows that if we will do that, God's greater purpose will be accomplished, not just in us, but in others also. So he is our foe. We need to consider the love of God. We need to consider the hate and our foe, which is the devil. His desire for us is to be centered on us. And that's what Jonah's problem was. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to that heathen city. I don't want to go to Assyria. I don't want to go to the capital of Assyria. I don't want to go to that city that is in rebellion against the people of God. And Jonah's in rebellion against God just as much as they were. And so we need to consider that the Lord wants us to do something, but Satan wants us to fail. He wants us to withdraw. He wants us to withhold. He wants us to draw back and not say everything that God has for us to say. Sometimes the devil's plan is just to preach a half-truth. Don't preach a whole truth. Preach something that is a half-truth, and people will be okay with it. But sometimes God says, no, not a half-truth, whole truth. And this book that I have before me tonight is the whole truth of God. And we need to preach that. So if we're going to do the will of God and not be like Jonah, then we need to consider God's love. We need to consider our friend. Thank God, have a friend named Jesus. And then we need to consider our foe, because he's just as active, he's just as real, and he is an enemy against us. God's plans are the best plans we could ever have. Have you ever had a plan that you knew the Lord wanted you to do, and you thought, well, I'll sort of tweak it a little bit and make it a little better? It doesn't get any better than God's plan. It doesn't get any better than what the Lord has for us, and the devil will sometimes trick us and make us think that his plan's a little easier and a little better, but we need to have consideration of God's love for us, how that he cares about us. Not only that, but we need to be confident in God's plan. To have confidence. You know, to have confidence in someone means you trust them. Chapter 1, verse 2, God says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." So here's God lays out the plan. God lays out all the details just in one little short verse, a plan that God has put before him. And Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. To be confident in the plan of God, that means you go God's way. As we studied about Bartimaeus this morning, God says, you go your way, and when it's all said and done, he goes the way of the Lord. He follows the Lord. So going God's way, sometimes we greatly limit ourselves by waiting for God to move upon us when God just wants us to move. Sometimes we draw back and say, well, I can do that later. It's not convenient right now, when God just says, I need to do it now. Immediately, Jonah should have gotten up and should have went toward Nineveh, that great city. He should have gone into Nineveh and preached the message God had for him, cry against their wickedness, and had the success that he had later when he went after the second time God tells him. But even when you read the story of Jonah then, he did it reluctantly. He wasn't happy with all the results. And so our God has knowledge, and while we are bound by our reasoning and our thoughts, we ought to just depend on the Lord. We ought to just have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure Jonah could not see how in the world the Lord could spare Nineveh. They're a wicked group of people. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Why? Because they were wicked. Why do our missionaries go to the places they go to? Because of wickedness. It doesn't have to be across the ocean either. It's, even in our own country, many, many wicked places. I don't know if sometimes we think about why is so-and-so going to a city here in America? Because that city has need of preaching. Doesn't matter how many churches are there, there's somebody that needs the gospel that will hear that individual. I'm of the persuasion if God really calls somebody to a particular place, God has a people for that preacher. God has a people that will hear him that maybe wouldn't hear anybody else, that would come to him because of his personality or his mannerisms. And people are drawn to folks that way. And so Jonah couldn't see why in the world would God want him to go to Nineveh because they were so wicked, and why could Nineveh be that valuable to God? Why would he do that? So Jonah, through his reasoning and through his rebellion, he says, I'm going another direction. I'm getting out of the presence of the Lord. He thought he could get on a ship and leave God. The only problem is God was on the ship before he got there. He thought he could get to Tarsus, and by the way, he never did make it there. He thought he'd go to Tarsus on that ship, and he'd be out of the presence of the Lord, but if he'd gotten there, you know what? The Lord had been there waiting for him. And it doesn't matter where we go, doesn't matter how far we get away from God, God's always right there where we are. We cannot escape the presence of the Lord. Jonah was very foolish when he thought, I'll just leave God. I'll just put God out of my mind, and I'll put his ways out of my mind, and I'll just go my direction, and God won't bother me anymore. Boy, was he ever wrong there. God bothered him before he got very far. And so Jonah needed to have confidence in God's plan. You and I, we need to have confidence in God's plan. There's been things the Lord maybe would want us to do and say, Lord, why in the world would you want that? Why? How's that going to work? And instead of going God's way, we'll try to go our way. Now, Jonah was, at this time, He was a runaway preacher. He just wasn't going to do it. He was stubborn, rebellious. Boy, how many times I can identify with Jonah. How many times we can identify with rebellion against the Lord. To have stubbornness against God and a stiff neck. God called him to go to that heathen city and preach repentance and judgment. And he didn't want to go because he didn't like the people of Nineveh. Well, they're in Assyria. And if you know anything about history, they were terrible enemies of the Jew. And the city of Nineveh was that capital of the Assyrians. And by the way, it is still active today. It's not called Nineveh, but it's in the area of Iraq. And the city of Mosul is very, very close to that. And we've heard about Mosul and the fighting. So these Ninevites, they were very vicious people, wicked warrior people, dire enemies of Israel. And Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I'm not going to Nineveh. He chose his own way. Really and truly, Jonah didn't care if Nineveh died without God or not. He just didn't care. And I believe we can truthfully say Jonah wanted them to die without God. He had the opportunity. He had the call of God, but he said, I'm not going. And so he ignored God's will and God's sovereignty, and he chose to run instead of going God's way. He went the opposite direction. He chose his own way. I don't know how Jonah thought he could hide from God when God's everywhere. But sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we get out of the will of God and we try to hide from the Lord. We just don't want to talk to God. And some can run their own direction. But everywhere we run, God is there. Verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And those mariners, they were so afraid, they were throwing everything overboard. It's going to sink. But Jonah was down in the bottom of the ship, sound asleep. They were all calling on their gods. They were all worshiping, calling on their idols. And here Jonah, that knows the true God, down there asleep. And here this wicked mariner comes and says, why don't you talk to your God? Well, Jonah wasn't talking to God. They wasn't on speaking terms. He had made his decision that he wanted to get away from the things of God, the presence of the Lord. He wasn't interested in talking to God because he knew what God would tell him. He went to him and tell him the very same thing. Now in chapter number 2, we have Jonah's prayer and God's answer. And we know, not going through all the story, we know what happened. They threw him overboard. God prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah. Somebody said, you really believe that? I really believe that. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing here and this pulpit is in front of me. I believe God prepared a fish especially for Jonah. Some smart scientist said, well, a whale can't swallow a man and him live. Can't if God prepares him for that. If God has a special fish for him, then that'll happen just like God said. And chapter number 2, Jonah prays unto the Lord. His God, where he's at now? Out of the fish's belly. He didn't pray to God out of the belly of the ship. He didn't pray to God when he could have without loss. But now God has prepared this fish and they've thrown him over. And Jonah probably really felt like, I'll just die and not worry about it. Just throw me overboard. But God had a different plan for Jonah. And so now he's in the belly of the fish. And what does he do? He prays to the God he's running from. He prays to the Lord that he doesn't want to be in his presence. He prays to the God that has told him what to do, and Jonah says, I'm not going to do that. He says in verse number 2, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of the whale cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the depth, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about, and all the billows and the waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy city. He got what he asked for. He got what he wanted. He said, I'm cast out of your sight. I don't want in the presence of the Lord. Well, God gave it to him, and there he cried. He said, but I will look again toward thy holy temples. Temple, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee and unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Chapter 1 is Jonah fleeing the presence of God. Chapter 2 is Jonah praying, once again desiring the presence of the Lord. And he admitted his problem. He admitted his failures. He admitted that he wasn't willing. He said, I cried because of my affliction. He said, I cried to the Lord because out of the belly I cried, out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. I've read a lot of commentaries. Many writers of commentaries believe that Jonah literally died there in the fish's belly, and God rose him up and gave him life. I have no idea. But I know as Jonah's in the belly of the whale 3 days, 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And Jesus was dead in the heart of the earth those 3 days, 3 nights. Regardless, Jonah was in the position that he had nowhere to look except to God. Nowhere to look except to the one that he didn't want. And he had to admit his failure, his problems. Sometimes we have to do the same thing. We have to admit and do not have... I've seen people let bitterness and unforgiveness may remain in their heart for years and destroy them. No joy because that heart is cold and indifferent. But we need to be like Jonah and acknowledge the sovereignty of our God. He is in control. Jonah says, You have cast me into the depth of the sea. And the flood, and he tells all that, and I'm going to read again what we just read. But he tells all the things that the sovereign God did to him to get him in a position where he would go where God wanted him to go. I believe if you had asked Jonah after this whale or this fish, the New Testament uses the word whale, so I guess we can use that, this fish that God prepared, I believe if we could have talked to Jonah just as that fish vomited him out, regurgitated him out on the land, can you imagine what he looked like? Can you imagine what he smelled like? Can you imagine what he felt like? I wonder what Jonah would have said if we'd have been there and said, Jonah, do you wish you'd have gone to Nineveh now? Wouldn't it have been better to be in the will of God than to go through all this? Wouldn't it have been better to acknowledge that God and trust the Lord and to follow the Lord and just to do all the things that God had for you to do? Wouldn't it be better? I'm glad God can forgive. And God, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah in verse 1, chapter 3, the second time. Aren't you glad God's a God of second times? We can fail the first time, and he comes back to us. We can fail the second time, thank God he comes to us. And you'll notice the command, the will of God for Jonah did not change. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Boy, verse 3 is a whole lot different in chapter 3 than it is in chapter 1. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He didn't want another fish ride. He didn't want another storm. He didn't want anything. So he goes and he goes into Nineveh. And the Bible says Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It would take 3 days to go from one side of Nineveh to the other side. That wouldn't be too much for us, but that's a pretty long distance for somebody walking. And so he goes and he enters into the city and he cries and says, 40 days, God's going to judge Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh believe God. What a marvelous work of mercy. The people of Nineveh believed the preacher that did not want to be there. He preached what God told him to preach. They believed. And the Bible says here that they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his throne from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by a decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And then he says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? Here the king says to all the city, a great city, a large city, he says, no doing your activities. The sackcloth and ashes represents the mourning, the heart of disturbed because of sin. He said, who can tell? He's saying maybe God will not bring all this danger and this harm to us. In verse 10, God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Praise the Lord. Here's the preacher finding the will of God, doing the will of God. But first four words of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah. That's why I say Jonah never did really get right with God. He did what he did because he didn't want any more rides. He didn't want any more vomiting. He didn't want any more of the problem. He just went and did what God told him to do. But when God did it, Jonah was displeased. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd turn. Really what Jonah's saying, Lord, I'm sorry you didn't kill him. He didn't want him delivered. They're the enemy. And he said, I knew that when you did, when I went, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness and repentance thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I beseech thee my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Just kill me, God. Just destroy. I didn't want to do this. You did what I knew you'd do. I'm not happy about it. Just take me out of this life. Verse 4, and we'll close. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Are you really angry, Jonah? A preacher of righteousness? A preacher that's... The whole city repented. The whole city of Nineveh turned to God because of the preaching of a rebellious preacher that did not want to do it. And then when God blessed it, he said, just kill me. I knew you'd do it anyway. Jonah never did really enjoy finding the will of God. His discovery that he had was made because of his rebellion and God's judgment upon him. He didn't search the will of God. He found it, but it wasn't what he wanted. It wasn't what he wanted to find. And now God has blessed and God has given victory and people are turning to God, and Jonah's angry. And God said, Jonah, are you doing well? Is it really good that you be angry? So he did God's will, but it wasn't the greatest achievement of his life. It's not attributed. It's attributed to God's mercy, not Jonah's preaching. Jonah was a rebellious individual that knew the will of God, found the will of God, did the will of God under duress and under stress, and he did not achieve anything great. And God, through his mercy, took a whole city, a wicked city, and Jonah's mad. And Jonah is upset. Just kill me, God. I don't even want to live. Well, he should have stayed back there in the whale's belly. He probably wouldn't live too long. So the will of God is very important to us. And I think the lesson is that God will use sometimes us when we don't want to be used. And sometimes he'll use somebody else instead of us. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And he will work it out in this world. What's going on tonight in our country, what's going on tonight in our world, it's just God working his plan. One of these days, he's going to have enough and it'll be all over. And thank God, it could be tonight. Thank the Lord, he is coming. So just think about the will of God and the service of the Lord and to be happy where God puts you. Be happy where God places you. Be happy with what God gives you. Experience the perfect will of God. Let's stand together tonight.